I turn to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. If you got it there in your Bible, why don't we stand and read it together? Just six verses. Pay attention to the punctuation and maybe we can stay together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for our opportunity this day to fellowship together. We thank You for our freedom that You've given us, and so much light and understanding, such abundance, such safety. Lord, You've been very good to us. We want to give You thanks today and praise You. I ask You to bless Your Word to every heart. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. These six verses are probably the most famous, quoted, and loved verses of the entire Old Testament. Six little verses. How would you like to write a hymn that 3,000 years later people are singing or praying? You know, many times when we have just New Testaments, it'll be New Testament and Psalms. There's a reason for that. Because Psalms is a very favorite book in the Bible of people because of praise and thanksgiving and prayer. You want to know how to pray? Read Psalms. Psalms will teach you how to pray. Now, this comes from a man. The Psalms is, by many people, is called the Book of David. Or, since there are five divisions or five books in the Psalms, really, then he's sometimes said the Books of David. But think about this David, who he was. Now, there again, we're talking about maybe the favorite character of the Bible outside of Moses, out of the Old Testament. Man, who is like David? About 17 years old, he's a giant killer. Wow. He's a hero. Then he becomes a great general. I mean, he leads armies and the people sing about him. You know, David has killed his tens of thousands and 10,000s and whatever. And, of course, got old Saul jealous because they just ascribed to him thousands. So he's a great warrior. What about him personally as a fighter? Well, he led 400 outlaws. You ever thought about that? You got to be able to whip them if you're going to lead them. That crew. They weren't in awe of anything. Here's a man, not a big man, sort of a handsome man, maybe a little red haired and little light skinned, and Ruddy they called him. And he leads 400 outlaws for a long period of time. And whatever, this guy's brave. This guy's a soldier. He's a hero. He's a general, and he's a musician. Now, I'm not a musician. I learned to play the accordion, I learned to play the piano and the organ, and I even played the guitar. But every time I'd play the guitar and see my guy that I was preaching with down in Guatemala, he'd say, "Let me try that. I think I can do that," and he'd do it better than me. I'd play my accordion. He said, let me try that. He'd just do it better than me. So I figured out I'm not much of a musician. I can type them, see. But then there's a spirit in the music. David is not only a fighter and a hero, he's a musician. In fact, it's called the Book of David. Not all the Psalms were written by David. In fact, 73 are ascribed directly to David. Now, he might have written others that his name is not on. And we give him credit, say, for the whole book. I give him credit for the whole book. When I think of the Book of David, I'm thinking of the Psalms. all 150 of them. And I may refer to them that way. But 73 Psalms are ascribed to David, 12 to Asaph, 1 to Moses, 1 or 2 to Solomon, and then there are a few others. But it's a great, great book of comfort. I got to looking up in the Scriptures. I'd forgotten where they were. But there's 4 passages that show something about David. Not only was he a musician and wrote these poems and dirges or chants or songs, however they did it, but it says in Nehemiah 12:36, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, the musical instruments of David. And 4,000 is in 1 Chronicles 23:5, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Amos 6:5, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. I think he's an inventor. I think he created musical instruments. He might even have been a craftsman enough to make them himself. But this guy is a complicated fellow. He's just somebody that he's just not like your average person. And the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And I think when you read the Psalms, I think you'll get a picture of what that is. It doesn't mean a man that never sinned or doesn't sin, and he sins terribly. And he pays for it, by the way. After he does his sin with Bathsheba and kills her husband and loses then the baby, and then he has troubles in his own family, and he has war for the rest of his life. Probably the last 20 years of David's life are just one tragedy after another. And you don't mess with God. And you certainly don't play with sin. But even though he was a great sinner, he was a great praiser. You want to know how to ask for forgiveness? Read the Psalms. Read Psalm 51. You're feeling bad? You're guilty about something? Read Psalm 51. Wow, the messages that we get in the Psalms from David. So he was not only a hero, he was a soldier, he was a musician, he wrote music. And as I said, I don't think they're going to be singing the Beatles songs 1,000 years from now. I don't even think they'll keep celebrating Elvis's death or birthday or whatever, give them 1,000 years. But here's David. And the favorite passage, I believe I'm right on that. I believe I've gone into the hospital for 55 years. I don't do it as much now as I used to. And I'll ask people, say, what would you like me to read? The 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm. You ever go to a funeral and not find the 23rd Psalm? It's almost always printed out. There's got to be a reason for that. Well, the fellow that wrote it is one reason. Now, how in the world did he learn his music? He's a shepherd. And as a kid, he's all alone. He's with those sheep out in the hills, a long ways away from everybody. Nobody's out there, but he's the youngest son. I don't know how many years he took care of sheep, but he took care of sheep. He was a shepherd. You know what I bet he did? He's a young man. He's got that sling. Now, my kind of slingshot was 2 pieces of rubber tire lapped over a fork that I'd cut out of a tree, wrapped around with string on these 2 things and a little patch back here, and we shot rocks, little rocks. David's was like a string of leather, 2 of them, and a bigger pouch, and you turned loose of one end when you threw it. One of them's wrapped around your hand, the other one's held in it. You get the momentum and you turn loose of it. You know how he got so good? Hitting cactus, hitting trees. And I'll bet you when he got that bear, I'll bet you he hit him with a rock before he took him with his knife. I bet he hit that lion with a rock before he took him. He was good. In fact, I saw on History Channel, and they had a bunch of young men, grown men, you know, but in their 20s like, and they were practicing with the old type slings. They were good. I thought, man, I'd throw the rock up here, send it out back yonder. But what David have to do? He's bored to death with all those sheep out there. Oh, he's got a little bit of work every once in a while, but hey, daddy and big brothers, they say, go out there and take care of them sheep. And so he's out there all day long and maybe the night. He's protecting the sheep. And so he throws the sling until he gets so good with that sling he can hit almost anything he wants to hit. And he knew what he could do when he went out against Goliath. Well, that's the same thing about music. Do you love music? If you love music, it's an amazing thing. You want it all the time. I'm amazed. I see people with these earphones. And they can't be without them. They drive themselves nuts. Our cars have stereos in them, you know, and CDs and even movies. We got everything. David didn't have any of that. You know, I was 16 when my dad bought our first television. I didn't grow up on television. I was 16. My dad hardly ever watched it. He was outside and working in his shop. When he got home from work, he ate supper and went out and worked in the shop. You know what I think David did? I think David played what musical instruments he might have had. And I think David figured out some new ones and he built new ones. And I think he was a musical genius. I think he's a poetical genius. Now, let me add something to that. This is the Word of God. So I believe the Holy Spirit had something to do with this. Psalm 23. I really believe it. Now, why do we love it so much? Now, it's not really a song of praise. It's a song of faith. He makes some statements by faith. Here's his dedication. Here's what David believed. And look what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. And everything else in the rest of this psalm is based on that. Here's his statement. Here's his creed. The Lord is my shepherd. Now what was he? He was a shepherd all of his young years. I don't know how soon it was after killing Goliath that he got to go play for Saul or become a soldier or whatever, where they kept the sheep after that. But he kept them he could have been 10 years old out there by himself every day. So 10 to 17 or something like that, he's got a lot of time taking care of sheep. You know what they got to do if you're a shepherd of sheep? You got to make sure they get food. You have to move them to the right places. You have to bring them home. You have to care for them because they are not naturally smart. I have never heard of sheep being called smart. They're dumb as dirt. They can get themselves in more trouble. They need a shepherd. Well, that sort of fits the church, doesn't it? We're dumb as dirt and we need a shepherd. He makes a statement here, and in it, I noticed several picture words. Green pastures. That sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, especially we live on the edge of the desert here in San Antonio, a little northwest of here where I'm at. We're definitely desert country, so we love to see rain. You have a year that you can't get any weeds to grow, you got a bad year. When cedar trees die on you, you got a bad year. You understand? Johnson grass and some of these other things are supposed to grow anywhere, anytime, at any place. But boy, we had a year last year or two. Man, no, hardly any weeds even grew. We didn't even have to fight the weeds because they didn't grow. Green pastures. That sounds good. How about still waters? Not cascading waters. Not canyons, but still waters. You can go down and get a good drink when you want to. Valley of the shadow of death. Boy, that's a picture, isn't it? Well, let me tell you what you do. You live in this life. You live in the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody's going to experience it. And in your family, you're going to lose children. You're going to lose parents. You're going to lose a husband or a wife. You're going to have problems. You're going to see death. You're going to go visit a lot of people in death. Because it happens all the time. And some people die at 20 and some at 50 and some at 70 and some go to 105. I saw a picture of a guy that was 100 years old celebrating his 100th birthday. He was still driving and didn't take a pill. Man. Talk about good luck. Talk about blessing. I'd think so. That's very, very good. I take about 20 pills a day. Plus 4 shots. And then stick my finger with needles. You know? My social calendar is made up of labs and doctors. That's about the only thing that fills up my calendar, and it's all full. Between Verlene and I, together, wow. It's just a blessing of the Lord. I'm still here. I never thought I'd make it past 60, but here I am. I'm 75, almost 76. How about those picture words, green pastures, still waters, valley of the shadow of death? Well, this guy knew something about writing, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, the sheep that have a good shepherd, they get taken care of. Now, recently, and I didn't see it about any sheep, I saw it about cattle. That the cattle were owned by some people, but they didn't feed them. And they were just starving. I don't know the whole end of it. I just saw it on the news. But those cattle looked bad. Somebody owned those cattle, but they either didn't have the money or they wouldn't put the money out to buy high-priced hay and go out there and dump it over the fence. A shepherd takes care of his flock. And that's what David, I bet you, was a good shepherd. I bet he took care of his sheep. He knew what he was doing. He had responsibility. It was to his father and to his brothers. And he did the job. And you know what he said? Here's the way I think. God is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Wow. Hey, that is a very good word. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to feed me. He's going to lead me. He's going to protect me from the bear and the lion. He's going to bring me home. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's a tremendous statement of faith. And this is the Old Testament. Here's a guy that lived 3,000 years ago. And he makes a statement that comes on down to us and will touch our heart. It does mine. I love this. It's a great psalm. Almost so great I hesitate to preach on it because I'm afraid I won't do it justice. But the Lord is my shepherd. Wow, what a statement. He's my shepherd. And it's the Lord. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, you might think of that in the style of the children of this generation, and we are so rich. You don't know why Americans are so fat? We're so rich. We got plenty of food, and have you ever noticed on your television how many ads are about food? They got a hamburger ad or a Cheez-It ad or a potato chip ad or some other kind of ad on there every few minutes, almost as much as cars and beer. Yeah, we got the money. We got the convenience. We don't have to work that hard physically anymore. All of us at least have some machine to help us out. And so, naturally, that's a blessing. If you have a nation that can let you get fat, hey, that's a pretty good nation. I like that. Of course, I'm a fatty, see, so. But that's all right. The fat is the Lord's, and I have more to give to him than you do. Yeah, misapplying a little scripture. I shall not want. How about that for a sense of confidence? Could you put that into your Christian life today? The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one taking care of me. Are you taking care of yourself, or is the Lord taking care of you? Well, we think we take care of ourselves. But I tell you what, one little blood vessel in your brain, one little spot on your body, one little something, and you're not taking care of yourself. And you know, all of the things we go through life, how many diseases did you just walk past this last month? You breathed in and they didn't get into you. I understand you got whatever can cause spinal meningitis in your mouth right now, all of us. All it's got to do is get into your spinal cord. If it doesn't get in your spinal cord, you don't have a problem. Hey, you might ought to be thanking your shepherd. You ought to be thanking God that I don't have some things. Instead of complaining about what you have, and you might have some stuff worth complaining about, you might ought to think of all the things you don't have and have never had. I visited a lot of hospitals over the last 55 years. Man, I've seen some people suffering. And I think, boy, I sure don't want that. Well, I have to turn around and say, thank you, Lord. I didn't get that. I can complain about what I did get, but no, it might be better than what I could have gotten. Amen? Boy, you guys got quiet since I left here. You better get revived and get up here. If I say anything good, you better let me know. I might quit. I shall not want. God's going to supply my needs. I'm going to have grass to eat. I'm going to have water to drink. I'm going to have protection. What a blessing. And that's what we have in this life. I have walked down this life through the valley of the shadow of death I don't know how many times and seen the hand of God. When I look back over it, I think that had to be God protecting me. God took care of me. God took care of my family. Those of you that have teenagers that are driving cars now or going out with people who drive cars, you may know a little bit about what I'm talking about. Let me tell you what. When they get big enough to get that driver's license, it ruins your family. All you have to get is one of them to have a driver's license. The rest of them want to go with him and steal you. They can have more fun with him. And when you see them drive off, you think, are they going to be stupid or not? Of course they're going to be stupid. They're going to test themselves. They're going to try things. They're going to get, Daddy's not here. Mama's not here. I'm my own man. 16. I'm my own man. Oh, I'm glad I've had a shepherd to watch over me. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I would think that's comfort and peace. Where do you get your comfort? Will the world give you comfort? By the way, we have the greatest entertainment in our society the world has ever seen. No king, not even Solomon in all of his wealth, had anything close to what you have. Stay home for a little while. And you will say, there's nothing to watch. I have 250 channels. There's nothing to watch. I'm bored to death. My wife has got cabin fever right now. She wants to come tonight. I'm going to try to bring her, but boy, she's had me take her outside, walking on the rocks and whatever with her walker, you know. Got to get out of the house. We have the greatest entertainment in the world. Nobody has ever been privileged. I was in a doctor's office the other day, and I had various ages of people in various kinds of sickness. Every one of them had a cell phone, and they were all looking at it. Some of them were playing games. Another guy was talking about somebody out loud for everybody to hear. But all of them had one but me. I still haven't broken down and got one yet. I think they're a fascinating thing. He restoreth my soul. Wow. Your soul been restored? David's talking about restoring his soul 3,000 years ago. He even talks about his blessedness to the one that God will not impute sin to. Wow. David might have understood a whole lot more than what we think he understood. He restoreth my soul. You know what? That's my best moment. Look back in your life. What's your best moment? What moment changed you? What moment blessed you that you're still getting a blessing from? He restored my soul. My soul was lost. My soul was pitiful. It was stained with sin. It was full of selfishness and lust, and it was full of pride and envy and anger and all of the sins. You can count them all. Just put them all in there. They're in your heart. And boy, all it takes is somebody to rub you the wrong way to bring them out. You think of the things that have come out of your mouth? Even to the people you love the most. We hurt the most. We can do some very terrible things. And our soul, that's us. That's us. When you're talking about your soul, I'm a soul. Me. That's me. That's Lindell. This body is not my soul. It's my body. He restoreth my soul. The very best moment in my life, the greatest need that I had, He changed my life and He changed my eternity. Hey, that's a good shepherd. Jesus, You're my shepherd. You restored my soul. Amen. That's beautiful. No wonder people want to read this thing. No wonder they go to it when they're troubled and they can't think and they're hurting and they don't know what to do and where to go. I turn up and read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Make me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." And here's another statement. Tremendous statement. We're still talking about the shepherd, because the shepherd is the main thing about this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And everything else that's in this psalm comes from that premise. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. I look back over my life, and I look at the choices I tried to make. Some of them I did make. And then I think about the times God has led me. How He took over. And though I wanted to go a certain way, He just sort of tweaked my trip. He sort of put a roadblock up or two. He sort of saved me from some of the things I would have done. And He brought me out of some of the things I did do. Wow. He leadeth me. I don't know about tomorrow. I have no clue. You don't either. That's the thing about life. We live now. Don't ever put off doing something. Anything that's really important, you better do it now. Lord touches your heart, Lord may never touch it again. God gives you an invitation, you know He's done so, oh, you better move on it. He leadeth me. I'm thankful to have been led by the Lord. I do believe that my life has turned out very blessed by the Lord's turning and leading. And that's what David's even talking about right here. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He's not leading me in sin. He led me to start reading the Bible. He led me to start gathering with Christians, people who love the book. He led me to some lifelong, if we're going to be eternal friends. You're a family. We're a family. Why are we here? Maybe because God led us here to meet certain people that were going to touch our life and make a difference. I had people touch me. I look back in my life and I think about the things I believe now and what I've done for all these years. I got a hold of some good men. I did. And what a blessing that is. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Man, I don't want to, if you smoke or drink or whatever, but I smoked and I drank. I cussed and I gambled. I knew all four of them were wrong. So, when he restored my soul, I just had a real strong conviction that I had to quit smoking, quit drinking, quit gambling. I threw all my cards away. I would love to play cards. I don't have any decks in the house now. In fact, I got some of my kids and I gave them a real hard time when they brought some in because they knew my rules. And I'm not trying to knock you, what you do, whatever. But you know, I went out there to that cancer ward and seen guys smoking with their hole in their throat. $2 a pack? $4 a pack? Boy, am I glad I quit smoking. I wouldn't have enough money to eat. How does a fellow smoke and drink and do anything else? Gambling. I was a gambler. I'm still a gambler. My wife accuses me of being a gambler all the time. I am. And if I was still gambling, I'd have lost everything I've got. Gamblers are stupid. They think they're smart. But they're stupid. Sooner or later, you're going to lose, dummy. Well, he led me in the paths of righteousness' sake. He led me into a gospel assembly. Pretty good sized church, but boy, that they believed the book. And they were evangelistic. One of the most evangelistic places I've ever seen, still to this day. Wow, I remember it. Oh, it was great. He led me in the paths of righteousness. If you let him lead you, he'll lead you to green pastures. He'll lead you to still waters. He'll lead you to get rid of sin. He'll lead you to change your fellowship. He'll lead you to make some new friends. Even if it costs you. And he'll lead you to stay somewhere. He'll put you in a family. This is a family. Big or small. And I really don't know how the great, great big churches, you got to have just a bunch of families in there somehow. But I don't know how you could, you can't know everybody. And you can go in there and just hide. You can go in there and just don't turn back in the visitor's card, you know. Don't stand up when they say, all the visitors, please stand. And when they say, all the members of the church, stand with them. I'm teasing. He leads you into a place where you can find out what he wants. I'm thankful for churches. Now, I get upset at churches. You know, one barber will criticize another barber's haircut. That's just the way it is. One beautician will criticize another beautician's hairdo, whatever. And the same way, mechanics and the guys that fix automobiles. Mine's better, you know. You know how that sort of thing is. So I'm a little bit critical of preaching and churches and stuff like that, and that's the reason why I broke off and started this one, to be a little bit different. Emphasize some things I thought to be emphasized and knock some things out I didn't think ought to be there. He led me in the paths of righteousness. Wow. The places I've been, the people I've seen, the people I know, the people that are sent out from this place. I love the mission conference because you get a bunch of them back. Get to fellowship with them a little bit. Paths of righteousness? Yeah, they're paths. None of these are individual acts. They're acts that continue. You make a decision about the path you're going down. Going down the path of righteousness. And hey, look at here. For His name's sake. This has almost New Testament truth in it, I want you to understand. In fact, I can read a whole lot of New Testament truth into this right here. His name! You know one reason why you ought to walk a little better life? Because you're called by His name. I am a Christian. People look at me, do they despise Christianity or do they love it? When they look at me, do they brag on Christianity or do they curse it? Well, we can do both. And there are Christians doing both today, right now. There are some Christians that are defaming the name of Christ because of what comes out of their mouth, or the way they live, or what they're doing. And there's some Christians that people think, well, if there ever was a real Christian, he's it. He led me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Have you ever got scared and run? I remember one time I was probably about 14, and I was working as an usher at the old State Theater. It's gone now. Got another building up there. It was a rat hole when I was working there. And I always had the last shift. I caught the last bus out of town, and if I didn't catch that bus, I walked. I did not like walking 7 miles. So I did my best to catch that last bus. I was walking home one night, and I got off the bus, and it was about 2 blocks to my house, and I heard something in the bushes. I tell you what, I would have set the record for the 100-yard dash. I moved out. I mean, I was moving. It was dark, and I was young, and I said, no! And off I took. Yeah, we go in the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. He said, I will fear no evil. Why? Look who his shepherd is. So it's death. So I've got trouble. So I've got cancer. So I've got diabetes. So I've got a brain tumor. I'm not going to fear any evil. Look, my shepherd has it all under control. We think we control everything, and we don't. The older you get, the more you'll learn a little bit about that. There's some things you really don't control. You think you do, but you don't. And God gives you what He sees best, and He carries you through it. And sometimes you think, I can't get through this. I see nothing ahead of me. It's all black and it's all dark and I'm scared. You ever get scared? Sure you do. Every single one of us do. Brave people get scared. They just respond to it differently than the cowards. All of us get scared. How about the valley of the shadow of death? Well, that sounds like the worst. That just sounds like the absolute worst. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know, death isn't the worst. Not if you know the Bible. Death is the end of your opportunity here. You're not going to get any more faith. You're not going to lay up any more treasures. You're not going to win any more souls. You're not going to preach any more gospel. You're not going to give any advice. Death's going to cut that off. But bless your heart, right on the other side of death is Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow, and I have some friends, they're really looking forward to it. My dad had a little different idea. He said, I know heaven's my home, but I'm just not homesick today. He wasn't ready to quite leave yet. Thought he'd hang around here a little while longer and pester us. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody's got to walk there. I will fear no evil. Now, this, as I said, is a statement of faith. How about that for a statement of faith? What would that do to your life today, right now, this week, this month? I will fear no evil. Whatever comes my way. That's a tremendous statement of faith. And this guy really lived with it, you know? Not only lions and bears when he's a kid, but soldiers when he's grown. And enemies like the king becomes your enemy and you got to run and hide and all that time. He says, I will fear no evil. The Lord's going to protect me. And all this time, what's David doing when he's out in the wilderness and when he's running from Saul? He's praying. He's trusting God. He comes up to a battle and he says, I think I could do this. But Lord, what should I do? And the Lord tells him, This city says, come on in, we'll take care of you. Oh, we love David. He said, Lord, will they turn me in? Yeah, they're going to turn you in. He looked to the Lord. He said, that's why I didn't fear any evil. That's why he could make a statement like that. I'm not fearing what these things are coming my way. The Lord is still my shepherd. And so I have this confidence, this faith here. It's a beautiful statement of faith. Why do I fear no evil? Look at the next part of that verse. For thou art with me. That's it. It's the presence of the Lord. I don't want to go anywhere God isn't. I don't want to go anywhere when God says, let me out at this corner. And you go ahead. You just drive wherever you want to go, but I'm not going any further. I want God with me. And if I've got to lose some money or lose a job or lose some friends or lose a town or lose a lot of things, I want God with me. Thou art with me. And by the way, here's another something about that. You're never alone. If God's with you, you're never alone. Isn't that something? You think you're alone. I'm down here all by myself and everybody's deserted me. You ever had everybody desert? I don't guess I've ever had everybody. I've had quite a few. But everybody, no. But even then, if it would have been everybody, he says, the Lord's with me. Thou art with me. I think what a tremendous blessing. And that's just New Testament doctrine. I can read it right back into there. The Lord has said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. David knew that 3,000 years ago. 1,000 years before Christ, David knew that. Thou art with me. I'm not fearing any evil. Why am I not fearing evil? Because Thou art with me. You're walking the road with me. You're with me in my comfort. You're with me in my fear. You're with me in my pain. Thou art with me. He's always with you. Now, if you had enough faith to keep that in mind through all your troubles and trials, you'd be a whole lot better off. You'd be better off than you were this last month when you didn't think about it. When you went through troubles and you thought you were all by yourself, thought you were going to lose big time. Thou art with me. Thy staff, thy rod, and thy staff, they comfort me. I sort of think of these as not the same thing, but two different things. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Taught them with a hickory stick. My daddy taught me with a leather belt. I think for the rod is punishment. And staff is strength. Help. That's the way I look at it anyway. You're welcome to have your own opinion. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If I step out of the way, I'm going to get the rod. If I'm going to act around in sin, I'm going to get the rod. But by the way, all the time I'm walking, limping, because of my infirmities, He's my staff. He's my staff, helping me walk. I'm walking along, and I've got the staff. God's rod and God's staff are still among us. You just need to recognize it. You need His rod sometimes. I don't care if you're 75 years old or 80 years old, Johnny. You might sometime need to take a whipping. You. I know you better than anybody in here. I know you need a whipping every once in a while. But hey, a staff's a pretty good thing to have. I have them. I've got 8 or 10. Walking sticks. Made out of different kinds of wood. I even have a couple. I had a couple in the church for a long time, and they got me some aspen ones, and they carved all over them. My name's on it. It's got deer on it and bear and all corn. And they're beautiful, beautiful. In fact, I can't use them because they're too pretty. I'm afraid I'll mess them up. I've got some staffs. I like walking with a staff. I really do. A staff's a pretty good thing because it can turn into a rod when a dog comes your way. That's true. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, many people have lots of different controversy on when this poem was written, when this scripture, psalm, was written. Whether it was young or whether it was old. Well, he already had enemies. I don't think he had many enemies when he was out there tending the sheep. I don't think he had many enemies, but he had enemies. So he's saying, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You're going to spoil me, and you're going to do it right in front of those that hate me. How about that? God lay his approval on you when you're down and out because of people around you. When your enemies are attacking you, when they're there, when they're criticizing, when they're lying about you. I don't know how much you've been lied about. I've been lied about a lot. Always irritates me. I like truth. I like truth. I'll stand up to my truth. But you know, you got your enemies. And he said he prepared a table. That sounds to me like a real nice dinner. I mean, you're setting things out and I'm going to eat to the full. We're going to have dessert. It's going to be beautiful and it's going to taste good. And wow, they never gave me a dinner like that. Well, they're looking on from the outside and God's preparing you a table. God has prepared me a table or two. Has he you? When somebody thought you ought to be out of the park and you can't make it, you never will, and God prepares a table for you, and he just feeds you and gives you dessert and treats you nice. In fact, he says, thou anointest my head with oil. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing of the king. That's the anointing of the priest. You know, I'm anointing my head with oil. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, my cup runneth over. How full? How full? Well, it's so full it's running over. I mean, I've got so much blessing that it just keeps on going. Now, here's a statement of faith too. Now, all of these are statement of faith based on God being your shepherd. Look at verse 6. Surely. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Surely. I not only have a table, I've not only been anointed, I've not only got the staff of God. God's feeding me. God's walking with me. God's doing all these things for me. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's me here to the end. And then I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No wonder that's a favorite passage of the Old Testament. God bless you.